Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Amen. We're glad to have you at church with us. Does it feel a little bit weird to be here? I know it's been several weeks for some of you, you know, and I'm still here. I guess I don't see or sense what maybe some of you do, because I'm here 6 to 7 days a week anyway. You know, this is my second home. And so to have folks come by for whatever reason over the last, you know, 6, 7 weeks and see them get a little bit teary, misty-eyed a little bit, and I say, you okay? I say, yeah, I'm fine. It's just I've been like 4 or 5 weeks since I've been in the church house, and it does something to you. It affects you. We know it's not the building. We know it's the people, but there's something about coming in this place that we've prayed over, we've set aside, we've dedicated it to be a place where we're going to come and we're going to worship God together. But we're so glad to have you all with us in here today and celebrating Mother's Day. What better time do we kick something like this off than celebrating our mothers? In praying about what to talk about today, I was thinking about, obviously we're going to talk about separation and those things that are going to lead up to the all-important reunion. Reunions are, they can be a good thing or they can be a really bad thing. Do you like reunions? Do you like family reunions? I like the food. Amen. There's no better cooking than when you go to a family reunion. You may not like those great aunts you didn't really know you had slobbering all over you and kissing you and pinching your cheeks and stuff, but now, aside from that reunion, they can be good or they can be bad. So this is a reunion for us. We're all back, sort of back together again. We're having to split it up in 2 services, make sure we're safe to get everybody in, but this is somewhat of a reunion for us, and we're glad to look across the, you know, the pews and wave at each other and smile at each other, and it's going to get better. It's going to get better. So I was led to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. That's where we're going to be this morning, Acts chapter 1. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to begin in verse number 6 of Acts chapter 1. Amen. I love hearing him. Don't quit. I love it. I love hearing people. Bless his heart. Connor, I don't guess he's in here yet. There's my man. Connor's been my rock for 6 weeks. Connor sat about right over here where his dad Kevin's sitting right now. And for 6 weeks, folks, he's heard every message I preach right of him. I had a limited audience, and so he got it all. But I appreciate you, brother. I love you. I love you. But, yeah, we're going to look in Acts chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, this is disciples talking to Jesus. They ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Father, we're thankful for your word, and what an amazing event these disciples were able to experience as you ascended up into heaven to be with the Father, until that awaiting that day, awaiting that time, that moment when the Father looks over to you, Jesus, and he says, go get our children, bring them home. We look forward to that day. And God, that's the reunion that we anticipate. That's the prize at the end, God, that we're looking forward to, is that permanent presence of being with you forever and ever, away from sin, away from trouble and strife, away from temptation. The devil's not going to be there. We look forward to that, God. But until then, we pray and ask you to give us your wisdom, your insight, Lord, as we look into the Scripture. And we look into the heart of the disciples, where they were at, God. We know we identify with a lot of things that they were going through that day. Have your way and be glorified in and through our service. Forgive me of my sins and all that I do wrong, God, that I can live for you today and please you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. When we think about a reunion, we know that before we have a reunion, that means there has to have been some things happen prior to that in order for us to want to get back together. And just like we did in the early service, I know Scotty came out with that verse of scripture and that analogy about us being, you know, separate and things, plans changing. That's literally the first item I wanted to look at, is the fact that your plans are indeed going to change. They're going to change. Look in verse number 6. He said, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Now you got these disciples that have been following Jesus for 3.5 years. These guys had been tuned in to the Lord and all the things that he had been saying, all the things he'd been doing. He'd been preaching about this kingdom. And, you know, he had a lot of parables that he shared. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. So he talked a whole lot about what the kingdom of heaven was going to be like, in addition to the fact that he was saying, "I came to seek, you know, and to save that which is lost. I came to die and give myself for you so you could be redeemed and you could be saved." But he talked a lot about the kingdom. So these guys are putting in their heart and their mind, this is not something that's just going to be a passing thing. No, this Jesus, this Christ, is coming to establish a kingdom. So when Jesus was there and they're listening to all these things that he's saying, they're thinking in their mind, when they get to this point, put yourself where they're at. Jesus has already died on the cross. He paid for the sin debt. He was placed in that tomb for 3 days. After he came out of the tomb, he conquered death. His resurrection was that final statement and nailing it, literally nailing it and saying it has all been paid for, the sin debt has been paid for, it's been accepted by the Father. That resurrection that the Father sent the angel to roll the stone away signified the Father's approval on what Christ had done. So all the things that needed to be done had been done to complete salvation. Salvation is possible for everybody. So then these guys are thinking, they're learning, they're growing. They don't really have the Holy Spirit inside them yet, and they're not indwelt yet. So they're doing a lot of human thinking. They're doing a lot of, just their own natural carnal mind thinking in this process. Okay, if everything's been done now, Jesus is ascended. Now he's walking around. He was with them for 40 days. You're with somebody 40 days after they've been resurrected from the dead, they got to wonder, is this the establishment? When they said in verse 6, "Have you come now to establish this kingdom you've been talking about?" In their mind, this is what they saw. Jesus came, born of a child, born of a virgin, lived that perfect life, went to the cross, paid the sin debt, went in the tomb, resurrected. Now he's been walking around 30, 40 days. Apparently now we're ready to take it to the Romans and we're going to establish our kingdom. That's what they had in their mind. They wanted Jesus to bring the kingdom now. So they said, is this kingdom of yours in place here? Is that what's going to happen? And as soon as they said that, you know what happened? Boom, Jesus started ascending out of their sight. How crazy is that? You see, that their thought process, their plan, like Scotty said, the plans they had made, they were ready to set up the kingdom, and they were going to be rulers in this kingdom with Jesus. All of a sudden, Jesus ascending, he's out of their sight. So their plans changed dramatically. Your plans can change for a couple of reasons. Well, more than a couple of reasons, but two basic reasons is they can change because of you, or they can change because of somebody else. They can change because of you because of the choices you make. We can make dumb choices and really affect our plans. We can have great plans. I'm sure that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden didn't really plan on or desire to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They didn't plan on being evicted from the premises effective immediately. They didn't plan on that. They were there in the garden. God told them, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You eat of that tree, as soon as you eat of it, you're going to die. So what they do, we know they went and looked at the tree. They saw what the fruit looked like, and they saw that it was pleasant to the eye. So they were enticed by it. Well, then the serpent started talking. Next thing you know, Eve's already plucked one off the tree, and she takes a big bite of it and gives it to Adam, and Adam bites as well. Their plans were not to be evicted from the Garden of Eden. Their plans, I guess, were to just, they were enticed, they were taken in by the moment. The serpent says it's not such a bad deal. God's just a little jealous that you're going to be like him. So it's kind of okay for us to go ahead and eat of the fruit. So they didn't think things were going to get so bad. But as soon as they ate of the fruit, what happened? Two things happened. They died twice. They died spiritually, instantly, and they began dying physically because of their sin. He said, as soon as you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. We know that physically they didn't just fall over dead. So that wasn't what God was really talking about. What he was talking about was more important, was the spiritual death that was going to take place. They died spiritually. Instantly they were separated from God. And I believe that's why he had to make them leave the Garden of Eden. Why? Because of the choice they made. Now there are going to be changes in your plans, changes in your life, because of outside influence. There are going to be some things. That person's going to swerve in front of you, and you're going to have to veer off to another direction. There are going to be things that are going to hit us that we're not going to bring on ourselves, but they're going to be brought in our life. How many of you had plans to go on vacation this summer? I'd say pretty much everybody did. How many are not going to get to go? We're not going to get to go. We had big plans for Camp Cove this year. We were excited about Camp Cove. It's going to be a great year. We love having those kids over here. We know it's exhausting and it's taxing, but it's such a great ministry. We love doing Camp Co. We didn't get to do it this year. I don't even know if we're going to get to do Bible school this year. We don't know how things are going to go. We don't know how the world is going to change and what's going to happen in our life. But some of those change of plans are not things that we would desire to have, and they're brought on by outside influences. I don't know when we're going to be able to actually have Sunday school classes again. It may be a while before we can actually do that. And listen, here, this is the worst one of all. Are you ready for this? When are we going to be able to eat together? Come on. How long? It's been like 7 weeks since we've had a Wednesday night meal back here. I mean, yeah, it's good to eat other places and other things, but man, I miss that, don't you? I miss those kind of things. So plans are going to change. We got to go in knowing that is a given, and that's going to be something that's just going to happen. Now, the next thought about these changing of plans is that with that, with what happened to us with this situation we're in our world today, it's caused separation. So do you love separation? Man, separation stinks, don't it? All right, let's look at verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. We've gone into physical lockdown mode for several weeks, didn't we? Did you drive each other crazy? Did you wish that you had more puzzles to work? Because you've worked the same one 10 times. You know, there's only so many board games we can play. I did a comic strip. I don't know if y'all are able to still get those, however you get them when I send them out. But me as the dad was talking to the kids, and they were saying, we've played every board game we have. You know, we beat every video game we have 5 times. And I suggested to my kids, well, maybe you and me and your mother, we could sit down and talk. And they said, oh, no, has it come to that? I'm telling you, separation stinks because it forces us to be in the situations that we don't enjoy being in. Being in isolation, being separated from those you want. Not that we don't love our family, but who can get on your nerves quicker than your family? Nobody. And so we know that to be separated from each other is a difficult thing, and it's not something we enjoy. And separation is tough. Separation, I think, takes its toll. David, at one time, which I thought was a beautiful story about him longing to be back home, much like we long to be here at church, David was separated from his home, and he spoke to some of his men, and he said, I would love to have a glass of water, a cup of water from the well there at home, and just drink of that cool water. I remember how refreshing that was, and how it cooled my thirst, and how it quenched me and satisfied me. Oh, if I could just have just a cup of that water out of that well drawn for me to drink. And his guys heard him and took it to heart, and so they literally risked their lives to go get him a cup of water out of that well and brought it to David. And he looked at it, and he said, as long as we're divided as we are, I'm not going to drink. And he poured the water out to show some symbolism there. But it just shows us the longing that David had to want to be with his people at home. And I think about the separation. Has it been a little bit rough for you to not be here physically at church? Has it had an effect on you? I would hope that it has. I would hope that it's been had an effect on you, that you long to want to be here. You see, I'm here, like I said, every day pretty much, and so I don't see it. But as other people come in, I see in their eyes there's just something about being here and the freshness and the newness again, the excitement of that reunion with a place that they love. So separation is going to happen. Separation is not something we like. It stinks, and it's hard on everybody. But separation is something that we're gonna have to put up with until things get better. Paul, at one time when he was leaving, I believe it was his third missionary journey, he was leaving, I think, Ephesus. And so as he was leaving, he gathered some of the guys together to pray together. And as they were there and they prayed, the Bible talks, said they fell on him and they kissed him. It meant basically that they embraced him and they hugged him and they loved on him, because they all knew that they probably wouldn't see each other again. And I thought, wow, it's difficult. Separation from the people and the things that we love is difficult. And being in these difficult times, we gotta think, what can we do because plans have changed? And what can we do because we're now separated from still some of the people and some of the things that we love? Listen, it's been over 6 weeks since I've been able to touch or hug my mom and dad. It's hard. Now I miss those hugs when they would embrace me. Now I think back of those times. I think, when was the last time I even hugged them? You know, when was the last time I got to grab mom up or grab dad up and give them a hug? And I can still tell them I love them from a distance. We'll go up and sit on the porch and have a meal at one end of the porch to the other end of the porch. It's not the same. But separation is something that we're all having a challenge with now. So what do we do? Well, here's one of the things that we got to do, and I think one of the most important things we got to do in verse number 10 is we got to get a quick grip of truth. That's going to be the essential thing in our life. Verse 10 says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Now, when we first heard about this pandemic and everything, you know, dropping the big bomb on us, when we heard about this, you turn on the TV, and I'm going to tell you something, you heard all kind of crazy stuff, didn't you? I think we're still hearing crazy stuff. You don't know who to believe, because nobody knows the truth. Nobody knows exactly what's going on with this thing. I don't think even today they really have a clue of exactly what's going on. We don't know completely how it started. We don't know completely how it's all spreading. We don't know who's more susceptible to it, who's likely to die from it. There's all kinds of opinions. And when we first heard this thing, and word was getting out that it was coming to America, the next thing you know, all this stuff going on, did you hit panic mode right off the bat when you heard about it? Did you panic? Or were you kind of calm through this thing? Now, I've talked to a lot of people over the last 6 weeks, and I'm going to say a good majority of the people had at least 1 to 2 weeks of pure panic. Panic set in because, well, obviously they were fearful for their businesses that depended on other people buying things. And I completely understand that. They were worried about their own health. Am I going to be one because of perhaps underlying health issues? Am I more susceptible to die, to get it, and even to die from this thing? So there's a whole lot of worry and stress. And you hear people on TV and on the radio, what are they doing? They're telling you their opinions. Can we really trust a lot of opinions? Hey, I can tell you my opinion. Well, I believe 75% of these people and blah, blah, blah. I can, you know, when I give my opinion, I want to be very, I want to come across very intelligent when I give my opinion, even if it's a very wrong opinion. I will throw out statistics. Well, they say 50%. Well, you can say 50% of anything, can't you? So I want to throw around numbers and sound like I know what I'm talking about, even if I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So we can get to the point to where we can be fed so much information. What is right? Well, here's what we got to do in the midst. We got to hold on to those things that are right and that are true. What's the one thing that we know that will always be true? It's Jesus Christ. His word is always true. So in the midst of a time such as this, we got to get a grip on truth. We got to get a hold of the things we know that are accurate. These guys came in over here, these disciples, when Jesus was there, they had plans of starting a kingdom. They were all probably divvying up to see who's going to be the guard, who's going to be this person, who's going to serve in that capacity. They perhaps were thinking of what roles they were going to play in this kingdom that Jesus was going to set up for them that day. Well, when Jesus started ascending up into the clouds, they're all standing here staring up. I mean, we know that they were because the Bible says as the angels came in, he looked at them and spoke to them about them standing, staring at the clouds. Now, their thoughts are there. their minds are there. They're consumed with the fact that, well, not only Jesus is flying, which that's pretty cool, he's flying, but he's going up into the clouds, and they're all struck by the situation. So sometimes when we get our mind, our head in the clouds, when we get preoccupied with things that are perhaps not as important as what we need to be focusing on, we need a reality check. We need to be brought back down to earth. We need for the truth to be something we grab a hold of. I imagine those guys standing there looking up into the clouds and they're just in shock. And then instantly, I think it's so cool, instantly, the Lord sent two angels down in white apparel to appear, boom, over here beside them. They didn't even see them appear because these guys and ladies are all staring up at the sky, and they walk over and say, hey, what's going on? These guys are standing here staring straight up, and they're looking back. These guys were their reality check, I think. They were bringing them back to some truth. Hey, this Jesus that you saw go up, don't just stand gazing off into the distance. He's coming back. Come on, we got work to do until he comes back. Come on. So this was their reality check. This was bringing them back to simple truth. Jesus is coming back, and until he comes back, we need to get busy about his business. So in the midst of this time that we're in and this uncertainty that we're in, we need to focus on something that's true. Focus on what you know. What do you know? You know the Word of God's true. You can believe everything about the Word of God. If God says something, you can count on it, you can bank on it. One thing I think that people struggle with in the midst of fearful times like this is they struggle with their salvation. And it's common. It's okay for you to struggle with your salvation. I think one reason they may do that is because we're fearful for our physical life. We're fearful we may catch something that's going to kill us. And so we want to make sure that if I do die, am I ready to go? Am I sure that I know that I know that I know I'm ready to go? And so we'll be confused, we'll stress out over it, be anxious over it. But it's good for us to get into the truth of God. If you called on Jesus, if you can go back to that moment where you called on him and asked him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, and you know that day you were inspired by the Spirit of God, and you called on him, and you know that day he came in, then listen, there's no reason to doubt anymore. Doesn't matter what pandemic may hit. Doesn't matter what world tragedy may hit. When you believed in Jesus Christ, he saved you from your sins, and you're saved forever and ever and ever. And we can take stock in that. Go to the things you know that are true. If we're saved by the blood of Christ, we know that we have the indwelling of the Spirit, right? If we're His, then the Spirit's within us. If we're not His, He said the Spirit's not within us. So knowing those things, we have that assurance that we have the Spirit of God in us, that I'm not by myself. Like the disciples fearful of that storm, and you know, Jesus was in the boat with them. Don't be afraid. Why? Because the Master is here in the boat with us. When you're unsure about the world you live in, rest in and hope in and have confidence in the things you know to be true, which is the Word of God. Verse number 14 of Acts chapter 1 says, "These all continued in with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." So, what happened during the time that they're separated from Jesus? What did they decide to do? Well, I think they finally accepted the fact they needed to have a reality check. They needed to grab hold of some truths. So all of them collectively went up into that upper room and they started praying, earnestly praying. They were doing those things they knew to do. They were choosing to grow. They chose to grow within this period of separation that they had from their Master. Yeah, they wanted Him to build a kingdom instantly that day, and they wanted to be rulers in that kingdom. Didn't happen that way. So while Jesus is gone, we got a job to do. Let's get back to what we know we need to be doing. Until we're told otherwise, do what you know to do. When God spoke to Joshua about going into Jericho and marching around it those one time a day for 6 days, seven times the seventh day, they had a job every day to do, and they had to be consistent with that. Every day, be faithful to what you know to do until God changes or adds to what you already know to do. A lot of folks want to be a part of the big thing. I want to be a part of the big thing, don't you? What is the big thing? We think the big thing is preaching to the masses. We think the big thing is leading 500 people into salvation of the Lord. We think those are the big things. But no, here's what the big thing is. The big thing is just being consistently faithful daily to what He's telling you to do. It may be nothing more than just getting up and marching around Jericho one time that day. And that's it. That's what God's... Your whole day and the purpose of you being alive today is for that one thing. It may be several small things that God has for you, whatever it is. Grow in this time of separation until we see Jesus. Grow in His grace. Grow in your relationship to Him. What did Daniel do the entire time he was separated from his home while he was taken away? He prayed. Every day he prayed. At least three times a day he prayed. What did Ezra do? Ezra studied God's Word so that he could teach it, because he knew one day I'm coming back home, and when I do, I'm going to be able to teach it to those people down there. He made sure that he knew and had the Word of God inside his heart. So grow in these difficult times. And the last thought is this. We need to be reminded that the reward is going to be worth the wait. Man, it's going to be worth it, isn't it? This may shock you. I've never given birth to a child. I mean, it's, yeah. I've never given birth, but I've seen my wife give birth to our two sons. And from an outsider looking in, you know, and I see and the experience of the labor pains that come, and then you see those things intensify as it gets closer to the birth of the child. And some may complain a lot. Some may not complain at all. I'm sure it's a unique situation to each mother as they give birth to the child. But in the case of the two children that we have, that I was there and I experienced this and saw my wife, once the child was there, all the suffering and the pain that she had experienced through that labor, to me, seemed as though it had almost been forgotten. I don't know if that's true, ladies, or if that rings a bell with you. But that's kind of what I think about when I think about the reward for serving Christ, the reward for being faithful to God in the midst of a difficult and very challenging world that we live in. Know this, know that one day, if you believe in Jesus, know this, Your reward and prize is you are going to see Him and you're going to be with Him forever. This is in addition to the fact that we know there are going to be rewards to be had. We know your works are going to be tried by fire. But if we don't even think about that, I'm saved by the blood of Christ and I'm going to see Jesus one day and I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. That, my friends, is the greatest prize you could ever have. So knowing that my eternal state is sure, then I need to keep a hold of truth today more than ever and let the world see, grow in the grace of God. Let the world see that I'm somebody that is solid in Jesus Christ. I want to read a little scripture for you in closing here that I thought was very fitting. Over in Ezra, I'm going to read just a few verses of scripture real quick. Verse 11 and 12, maybe 13. This is as they're coming back into Jerusalem because they've been in captivity for 70 years. Coming back in here. Listen to what it says. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They were able to come back home and see that foundation laid. Verse 12, but many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men, which that's what Scotty and Tim call me. I'm one of the ancient men here. The ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted for joy. You had people that when they were young men, teenagers perhaps, remembered seeing the temple of God. And when it was destroyed and they were taken into captivity, 70 years later they were able to come back. And oh, how it just flooded their soul to see the cornerstone laid on this new temple, and this new house of God that's going to be built. Listen, it's going to get better. Have confidence and trust in Jesus Christ through this. The disciples had a plan. God had a different plan. They had a thought of what should happen. God said, this is what's going to happen. Jesus is coming home for a little while until He comes back to get you. Until then, it's our job. It's our expectation from God for us to hold to the truth and grow and endure through the hardships, holding on to Jesus Christ, knowing that we will receive that amazing reward of being present with the Lord. I don't know where you're at with the Lord today. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're confident in salvation. I don't know if you're just struggling with this, just anxiety during this difficult time of life. Whatever's going on in your life, understand this. This altar is open. This is one place we are not going to close. This one place is going to be open. You come to this altar. I'm going to have a word of prayer, then we're going to have a song, and you come. So you stand with us as we get ready for the invitation. Father, we come to You today, and God, we thank You for this passage of Scripture, for this message. We thank You for the challenging words that You gave to those disciples that day. Now, we don't need to just be stargazers, God, but we need to be active in serving You. We need to be about Your business. My prayer, God, is that wherever we're at today, some may be doubting salvation, some may just be nervous and unsure. Some, God, may have just been reluctant to be faithful to You during this time. We pray, God, that Your Spirit moves through the audience today and that You have Your way in our hearts and our lives. Move us, God. Move us to an altar to get on our knees before You. Move us to repentance, God. Move us to praise that we'll praise You for how good You've been to us through these difficult times we're facing. God, we know You're our only strength. We love You, Jesus. We thank You and we praise You in Your holy name. Amen. They're going to sing You.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.